Welcome to Torah Tzimecha, Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rivka Alter, and today we are studying Perek Aleph of Malachim Bet. In the second half of Malachim Aleph, we witnessed the unraveling of the relationship and the tension between the Melech and the Navi. As the religious caliber of the kings decreased, so too did their reluctance to accept the word of Hashem as transmitted through his Nevi'im. The most noteworthy relationship is that of Eliyahu and the house of Ahav. Our Sefer begins with the dynamic of that relationship as it continues to the next generation, Ahav's son, Ahaziah. A couple of things to note from the end of Malachim Aleph as they relate to this perek. As you recall, Ahav is a complicated character who has definitive moments of recognizing Hashem's power. Whether it be his reaction after the events of Har HaKarmel, or after being rebuked for his involvement in the story of the death of Navot. When push comes to shove, Ahav knows who was really in control. Eliyahu also faced many challenges in his role as Navi and relating to the people in his generation, culminating with the lesson of the Kol Dzmama Daka that Hashem tries to teach him at Har Chorev. Did Hashem's words work in softening Eliyahu's harsh approach? In Perek Chaf Aleph of Malachim Aleph, Ahav mourns and repents after realizing the severity of his actions with Navot, so much so that Hashem agrees to delay the brunt of the punishment he deserves to the next generation. And here we are, the next generation. What can we sense from this next generation? No longer is the king from the house of Ahav conflicted. His name, Ahaziah, has the root Ahaz, meaning grabbed or held. Will he hold on to his sinful ways and those of his parents, taking the leadership of Yisrael to new lows? Or will he grab onto Hashem and repent after nearing death in this perek? We have seen and will see in the next few prakim, even foreign idolatrous kings sometimes turn to Hashem through the Navi when they were dealing with real life or death circumstances. Even they knew deep down where the truth was to be found. Here, Ahaziah, a Jewish king, severely ill, does not even turn to Hashem when faced with possible death. Instead, he heads to Baal Zvuv. Although when it came to Ahav, Hashem did not respond with immediate punishment, with this next generation, Hashem immediately communicates his disapproval and grabs him. Throughout this perek, there are many references to going down and rising up that we will pay attention to. Ahaziah physically went up to his roof only to fall down through the lattice, although this falling can also be appreciated on a metaphorical level. He wants to inquire from the Baal Zvuv if he will survive his fall. A Malach Hashem tells Eliyahu to intercede and go up to intercept Ahaziah's messengers that were going to seek out Baal Zvuv to give them the message from Hashem that they are not seeking Hashem out as they should. The message concerning Ahaziah's death is that the bed you have gone up onto, you will not come down from. Going up onto his deathbed was a chance to see his true colors, to elevate him spiritually. His failure to do so immediately leads to his downfall. Eliyahu, as expected, is enraged at such behavior from a Melech Yisrael. He does not go up to meet the messengers. It is interesting to note that in the past, Eliyahu initiated his rebuke of Ahav's kingdom, as seen with proclaiming the drought and the events at Har HaKarmel. Whereas in the events after Har Chorev, both with Ahav at Kerem Navot, and also in our perek here, Eliyahu does not engage with Beit Ahav until he is commanded to do so by Hashem. Ahaziah right away senses Eliyahu is involved. And through his questions to his messengers, we get a glimpse into the outward physical appearance of Eliyahu HaNavi. It is clear he has a distinct appearance. We are also told where Eliyahu is situated. He is on the top of a mountain. What do these details come to teach us? What do the long hair and leather belt tell us? Eliyahu's physical appearance fits with what we know about his persona. One who is separate from the people, Nazir-like. One who likes to be alone in his holy mission. Physically ungroomed. He does not care how others perceive him. He is fighting against conformity in an age where Baal worship becomes the norm, and he's not afraid to take an unpopular stand. He resides in a place that is removed from the general population on top of the mountain. Yet the belt also indicates that he is girded, ready to, and eager to fulfill Hashem's command, in a way similar to the Jews who had their belts on, ready to exit, Matnechem Chagurim, when they ate the Korban Pesach in Mitzrayim. Continuing with the theme of going up and coming down, Ahaziah's messengers are sent back by Ahaziah to order Eliyahu, who is on top of the mountain, to come down, to meet them at their level. Eliyahu refuses, and we don't witness a change until the third group of messengers are sent to Eliyahu. The tenacity of Ahaziah, as his name indicates, is clearly seen. Eliyahu acts in ways we have seen before, using the weapon of fire that he has previously used to cause destruction. The fire is coming down to punish. Tered Eish min Hashamayim. Although Eliyahu's destructive behavior seems to indicate that he has not learned the lesson of the Kol Dmama Daka from Har Chorev, we do see that when the Malach Hashem tells him to come down the mountain, after the pleas of the third Sar Chamishim, he does comply. Eliyahu comes down and relays the same original message about Ahaziah not recovering, that Ahaziah will not come down from his deathbed. In the confrontation between Eliyahu and the house of Ahav, we could say that Eliyahu won the showdown. But in truth, no one won. It becomes clear from this first parak in Melachim Bet that this combination of king and Navi will not be productive in bringing the kingdom of Israel on a path back to Hashem. In fact, we are told Baal Zavuv is the god of Ekron, the Plishtim. Symbolically, we can see this move on Ahaziah's part as destructive to Jewish kingship itself, taking the nation back to a time when the Plishtim were in control, before David HaMelech, who overcame them as a national threat and led as a true Melech Yisrael. The first pasuk of this perek mentions that Moab starts rebelling against Yisrael. Why is this significant? We know in these times that when foreign nations are able to overcome us, it indicates a dip in our spiritual level. Hashem is sending a direct message. As such, the fact that the Sefer in general, and in this perek in particular, starts with this piece of information indicates that Ahaziah is already on a level worse than Ahav. After all, Hashem did not give Moab the power to act out during Ahav's time. From the events of this perek, we see how Hashem was not on Ahaziah's radar at all. Ahaziah is not conflicted like his father was. Although he was given a chance to rise up, as symbolized by his ascending on his bed, we don't see any attempts made to spiritually rise up, but rather commands Eliyahu to come down. Although Eliyahu is able to command the respect of Ahaziah's officers and sends Ahaziah's messengers back with the word of Hashem, effectively making them Hashem's messengers, Ahaziah remains unchanged, and we may question what did this perek really accomplish in terms of improving the spiritual level of Malchut Yisrael before they are at the point of no return. Ahaziah is truly a character where the lessons we learn are how to act differently than he did when offered direct messages from Hashem. The kingship does not witness another generation of Ahav's dynasty on the throne, but rather stays within the same generation as Ahaziah's brother, Yehoram, ascends the throne. To see what happens with Eliyahu's legacy as Navi, stay tuned for Perek Bet. Thank you for studying together L'Ilui Nishmat Malka Esther Bat Tzvi Yosef.